If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
.11 56 on 720 WGN. This is Dean Richards. And you may have heard me mention earlier, the box office numbers for the weekend are in. Star Trek, a huge winner, nearly $60 million in its take. Star Trek Beyond, which I gave a Dean's List A. I loved it. Huge, big, bold, exciting, great story. But what I really liked about it are the little interpersonal stories between the characters. Almost like we're getting to know these characters in a way that we didn't get to know them before. Last weekend, I was in Los Angeles and talked with the entire cast of Star Trek, including Zoe Saldana and John Cho, who plays Sulu in the movie. And they also loved the interpersonal aspect of this movie's storyline.
Typically, I think we've been all relating to Kirk as characters, and to get paired off, I think the Enterprise gets destroyed, our home is destroyed, we're homeless, stranded on this planet, and it brings out different colors in the story and different colors in our relationships. For instance, with Zoe and me, there was a scene that's not in the film where Sulu explains that he brought his husband and daughter out to this remote outpost, Yorktown, and for his career, and is experiencing a lot of guilt about that because he's put his family in danger. And it's a confession that could only be made in an intimate setting, and then Uhura comforts him. And I just found that moment, even though it's not in the movie, like really telling. It's the kind of moment that's all throughout the movie, because we're in Paris. You just get more intimacy.
Yeah, I think it's interesting in a movie that's this big, that's so massive, mind-blowing, that like it comes down to these little intimate stories.
Well, I think it's about people. You know, sometimes we get too caught up with the event of it all, and that we lose sight that these are stories being told through the eyes of people, and they're the ones that are documenting every beat. So why not view it through them, through the way that they're being compromised, affected by it, the way that they're trying to figure it out as well.
Yeah, very, very personal. And so interesting to me that, you know, when you go on Google and just put the movie title in, nearly every story for like the first four pages is about your character being gay in the movie. I had this exact conversation with Ellen DeGeneres a couple of weeks ago about Dory, and is there a lesbian character in the movie? And that's all anybody was talking about with these movies, seemingly with the same thing.
Well, it's wild. It's counter to what the movie is doing, though, which is the movie is positing that it's nothing. And if you see the way that it's shot, and if you see the moment in the moment that everyone's talking about, is not much of a moment at all. Wonderfully so. And it just passes by you. And really, in a few years, you won't notice anything because the movie doesn't have a music cue. It doesn't push that moment on us. And hopefully that's where we're going. And maybe we're going towards that future.
Yeah. Do you see George Takei's point that he made, though, that he loves that there's a gay character in the movie, but wishes it would have been a new character, an original character?
I totally understand where he's coming from. He played Sulu as a straight man, and he's a gay actor who worked hard to create a character that was straight. And I understand where he's coming from. I hope that he's heartened at some point by the fact that young people will see that and be encouraged by that and see themselves represented up there and take note. I mean, the way that I saw him on television when I was a kid and was so excited that there was an Asian-American heroic figure on television.
Yeah, there is John Cho, who plays Sulu in the movie, talking about that. And it's so funny that you know, so-called gay moment in the movie is so quick. If it's 15 seconds, it's a miracle. It goes by so fast. And as he says, it's, you know, it's sort of, if you blink your eyes, you sort of miss it. So funny that it's getting so much traction this week. And speaking of Zoe Saldana, by the way, in the movie, She just talked about that she is living with a very uncommon thyroid condition and has talked about that. We'll have much more on that tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV Morning News and more of our interviews with the cast of Star Trek Beyond. Coming up after the news, Kirk and Spock, Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto with the cast of Star Trek Beyond. Some of you see it. I know some of you saw it. It made $60 million over the weekend. Be curious to get some of your thoughts and your reviews and some of your feelings about it at 312-981-7200. We'll get to those in just a quick minute. Last weekend, I was in Los Angeles and sat down with virtually the entire cast of the movie. Idris Elba wasn't there. He's the villain in the movie. He was filming something else, so he wasn't available, and I would have loved to have talked to him about, you know, being the new guy in the cast, being, you know, most everybody else in the cast, they've, you know, done these three movies together. They probably sort of have this shorthand with themselves, but, you know, being the new guy in it, it would have been really interesting to get his perspective. And many of his scenes are extremely, extremely physical, a massive fight scene at the end of the movie that's completely awesome. Chris Pine, though, is back now for the third time as Captain James Tiberius Kirk, and Zachary Quinto back as Spock, both just great, I think, in their roles. And when I sat down with them, I wondered about the continuation of bringing these characters to life. I'm wondering, you know, playing the same characters now, three movies, do you approach it differently? Is each one like a starting all over again, or is it just like riding a bike with the same character?
It's, I guess, just a deepening of you know, your acquaintanceship with the character develops into a friendship, develops into a bond, and I think three pictures on it, it's all just a little bit easier, just because we've been here for a little bit, and we know each other that much more, and our friendships have deepened, and you can't help but bring all of that knowledge of one another and yourself to bear on the characters and the relationships.
Do you think the same, Zach? That, I mean, it's like the evolution of a friendship, I guess.
Absolutely.
My relationship as a viewer of the movie, it's like watching an evolution of my relationship with you guys.
I think it's much more familiar to us now, and that coming back to it feels in a way like returning to something that we've all cultivated a deep fondness for, certainly for each other. So I think that, you know, coming back to these characters is also suggestive of coming back together as a crew, as an ensemble, and I think that's really gratifying for all of us. So yeah, I mean, it's great fun, you know, to get to dress up and pretend like we're flying around space and, you know, just make the most of it.
Who wouldn't like that?
Yeah, come on.
Who can't enjoy something dreams, like that? You know? And done with so much humor and excitement, but also like some really touching poignancy as well. When you were talking about Leonard Nimoy, mm-hmm. it's very moving.
Yeah.
Those are very moving, and I would guess for you, very personally, very moving to do that as well.
It was important for me to honor Leonard in a significant way in this movie, and so when I read the script and saw how Doug and Simon had integrated his passing into the narrative of Spock, I felt really grateful for them to think to do that and to, you know, have it not just be a fleeting kind of thing, but really integral to my version of the character's evolution, and that even in Leonard's passing, he and his version of Spock still teaching, still helping, you know, still very much a part of this film, even though he wasn't here for us to.
Yeah. Also very poignant, Chris. I mean, you have so many scenes with Anton in this movie, and it's just a reminder of the sadness of his passing, but what an amazing actor he was. And I certainly didn't know him like you did, but I interviewed him so many times. What a great guy, and it just like constantly reminded me what a great guy he was.
Yeah, I mean, this film didn't do nearly... you get a sense of Anton in this film, but this trilogy, I don't think, ever gave him the space to show off what he was capable of doing, which was quite a lot. I mean, he was a great intellect, intensely and fearlessly creative. He was a director and a musician and artist and philosopher, and he's also really funny and light, and that's what he is in this film. He's a bright, kind of buoyant, boyish spirit that it's just, I don't even think I can kind of process any of it, because it just doesn't, it just seems like he's still here.
Yeah, it's, I got to say, a little bit distracting when you watch this movie on the scenes in which Anton Yelchin is featured. I mean, you are reminded about that freak car accident that he had, where he was essentially crushed by his own car that started moving. Very, very sad. Talented, talented young actor. Steve is on the phone at 312-981-7200. Steve, you saw the movie. What did you think of it? And do you agree with me about Anton Yelchin, that, you know, like, you're, it kind of brings a sadness to you when you see him up on the screen?
Definitely. Yeah, morning, Dean.
Morning.
Afternoon, I guess, now.
Yeah, what'd you think of the film, Steve?
I really liked it. I had seen it a couple times, and the second time I picked up even more things that I just thought were funny flukes in the movie, like when the little bees first came into a starship, they had wrist guns that shot more laser type of guns than in Dune. Dune, they were shockwaves, mm-hmm. but it was like wrist guns.
Yeah.
Then they were in the forest, and all the little butterfly creatures floating around, like in Avatar.
Right. Right.
And then Jayla, she shows up with a long gun that has the oval piece on the end.
Yeah.
Like one of the protectors in Stargate.
Yeah. Oh,
the protectors of that androgynous kid.
Really,
androgynous
really good throwback.
Guy.
Yeah. I saw it a second.
Just all kinds of,
right.
And there were more that I can't remember them, but
yeah.
It seemed like there was more things like that.
I saw it a second time last night and noticed a lot of nuance that I didn't see the first time. A little things that, you know, when you see them for the second time, you realize that, oh, that is going to refer to something that happens later in the movie. There
right.
were lots of little things like that. So you thought it, you pretty much liked it as I did.
Yeah, and the second time I could understand Carl better too.
Right.
When
yeah.
he was yelling and his speech, you didn't catch some of the stuff he
right.
was saying.
Right, it was a little garbled. Yeah, well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thanks for the call. Hey, Louie, you're on WGN.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, buddy.
So I was just calling in because I'm a huge fan of Star Trek and Star Wars and all of the space dramas. And I especially really like the first two Star Trek. I felt that they were by far the best ones, and I really liked the cast and crew. Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto were great together. But in this one, I felt, although the movie was great, that the characters were a little bit more going through the motions. And I didn't know if maybe not having J.J. Abrams there or having lost a couple of their friends and crewmates, if that affected some of the movie persona and if they were going to continue to keep doing films or if they felt that it was good to just end here.
Well, I know they have greenlit a fourth Star Trek movie. Whether or not, you know, Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto and, you know, the regulars are all going to be back. They are bringing back Chris Hemsworth in the fourth movie. If you'll remember, in the first movie, he played Captain Kirk's father, George Kirk. And I don't know how they're going to do it, like a flashback or whatever it is. But Chris Hemsworth, there is going to be a fourth movie, and Chris Hemsworth is going to be in it. So there will be more.
Yeah, definitely. I thought that the movie was fun and entertaining, and it was funny at times. And I think if I had to give a personal opinion, I definitely like the second one the most. And the first one was a really good entrance into the theater. But I felt this one was just a little bit more like maybe some of the actors felt like, you know, they didn't really get, they were like more tired out with the series.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't.
Especially Bones. I forgot his name in real life.
Yeah, Carl Urban.
Yeah, Carl Urban. I felt like he a little bit more just kind of there. I don't know if I felt the same enthusiasm the emotion, you know?
Yeah, I didn't get that sense myself, but, you know, I hear what you're saying with it. Mm-hmm. I happened to watch the second movie, Into Darkness, right? Isn't that the name of the second one, Into Darkness? And, oh my gosh, Benedict Cumberbatch is so great.
I loved him as Khan, you know, because I saw the original Khan. I'm not that old, so I'm not like the person that went and saw it in the theaters. I'm only 21, so, but...
I am that old, by the way. I remember.
Yeah.
I do, and it was kind of funny to me. Now, this is kind of interesting because, you know, there are some very definite, you know, throwbacks, homages, I guess, to that, that seemed a little corny if you knew the originals, but maybe somebody your age, you look at it with a different set of eyes than I do.
Yeah, because I saw the one with Khan, like the original one, after I had saw the new one.
Ah.
And I mean, I really do like, I like the original one a lot. I'm not going to put it down in any way, but I really did like the new one with Benedict Cumberbatch. I felt that it was really interesting. I also kind of like the whole flip-flop thing at the end. I'm not going to go into too much detail.
Right.
I don't want to ruin for anyone else.
Right, I did too.
Yeah, you and I thought that was kind of, you know, ironic. And
yeah, I like that. I thought that was a really sweet homage to it. But I was just reminded of what an awesome, awesome, awesome actor Benedict Cumberbatch is in everything that he's in. I mean, he really brings it. Louis, thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. Some great thoughts there.